Hey guys, I'm Coach Christy. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. I hope that what I have to say is useful to you. So today what I want to talk about are four ingredients that I consider to be the foundation of any relationship, really, but in this context, in terms of horsemanship, right, and training horses. So, lots of people have their foundation and their building blocks and perspective on that, on, horse training and what it takes to train horses or be good with horses, that sort of thing. And one of the things that sort of bugs me a little bit is when people preach about purpose, that, your horsemanship or, conversations with your horses need to be purposeful. And they often equate purpose to things that lots of us don't want to do, like, moving cattle or, showing and things like that. Now, trail riding is a good purpose. Carrying a passenger from point A to point B can add purpose to your conversation. But what if the purpose was to better understand each other? What if the purpose was to deepen the relationship or to have a more fulfilling conversation? So to me, that doesn't have to include such a rigid outcome or specific goal. It needs structure for sure. I get where people are coming from when they say, to add purpose to your, purposeful horsemanship and all that. And, just fluffing around in the arena without a clear goal can be really frustrating to a horse. For me, what it feels like is people who are good at and who crave chit chat. I do not crave chit chat in any way whatsoever. If you come to me with a complaint, the only way I'm going to participate in that conversation is if you're asking me to help you find a solution. Then I will get in there with you all day long. Let's dig in, have a real conversation, talk about things that are real, and, try something, that I feel is worthwhile. But just to talk, to hear myself talking, not something I do. And I think, horses are the same. To just interact with a human for the sake of, yielding, not very satisfying, I'm sure. But if instead we were looking to explore the possibility of, what is synergistically possible between the two of us, I find that exciting. And to me, that doesn't have to be focused on, showing or cattle or even trail riding, which I love to do, right? So, it all just depends on your perspective and, what ingredients have made up your experience, and that's how you'll see it. So here's what I want to be sure is very clear. I don't think I'm right about any of this. I think that, what I'm saying to you is my perspective. And if it resonates with you, great. Let's work together. If it doesn't, that's fine too. I can help direct you to someone who has a different perspective. So here are the four foundational blocks that I feel like build a synergistic conversation between horse and human, and even human and human. Building block number one for me is attunement. And this is a fairly new word to me. I started to hear this word being used a lot by a really big name in the clinician sort of circle, and that's Warwick Schiller. And more and more, I'm really excited by the things that Warwick is teaching and sharing, and his language resonates with me a great deal. So attunement, in its really most basic form means getting into harmony with one another. And I think that an important piece of understanding around harmony is that it doesn't mean we're the same. Harmony means that our frequency or our vibrations, even though they're different, when they come together, they make a pleasing sound, right? So in music, that would mean that we were in tune, right? We were in tune with each other. We might be playing different notes, but if we're on the same scale and playing notes at intervals that go together well, it sounds good. But if we're out of tune or out of attunement with each other, then there's dissonance, right? It sounds unpleasant and, you know, makes people make funny faces and stuff like that. So that's the nuts and bolts of attunement. But I found this really interesting definition of attunement with a Google search, and the definition that I'm really excited by, and I'm not sure that I fully understand it. I'm still exploring the definition, but I really like the context of this definition. And what I found was attunement means a kinesthetic and emotional sensing of others, knowing their rhythm, affect, and experience by metaphorically being in their skin. How good is that? Kinesthetic, right, means like proprioception, like awareness of body in time and space. So not just aware of their body and what all the little parts are doing. You know, a common, you know, mystical cowboy saying is a horse knows what you knows when you know, and they know when you don't know. And that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But in this context, it means, are you aware of all the little signs your horse is giving you to try to share with you what their experience is? Everything from small, you know, twitches in their nose and muzzle and eyes and ears to, you know, the tension throughout their body. And are you helping them or are you ignoring those things? And when we ignore all of those little things, what we say to our horses is, I didn't notice that. And in the not noticing, they become oftentimes worried, right? The reason why horses feel relaxed or safe in a herd is because there are so many hyper-vigilant eyeballs and noses and ears senses in the group, right? That there's a lot of individuals on the lookout for potential danger, and that helps them to relax. And they instinctively know that horses are sensitive and noticing creatures. And it's often the horse in the herd that has the most sensitivity to the environment that becomes the leader, because they have the best ability to signal to the herd that there's potential danger, and that makes everyone feel safe with them. So attunement has a lot to do with finding ways to tell our horses, I noticed that and it's meaningful to me. And, you know, what an incredible gift to give another creature that complete sensing, you know, that I'm here with you to feel all the parts that you are feeling. I find that, you know, through my journey of learning about horses and horsemanship, what I've learned is, I don't like feeling, you know, like a good part of our, of my life experience has been about, suppressing feelings. As a child, I was a very, emotional kid. I had a stressful childhood. And what was often said to me is, I don't want to hear you cry, right? That's was said to me repeatedly as a kid. Like, I'm not here for that nonsense. I don't want to hear you cry. Suck it up and carry on, which is really unhealthy. It's like really not a good precedent to set. And so as an adult, we have coping mechanisms that were installed by someone else, well-intentioned people. You know, I love my aunt and uncle who raised me, and I know everyone who participated in my childhood did the best they could, but that's messed up. So I don't want to do that to a horse. I want them to understand that it's okay to feel the way you're feeling. And instead of saying to them, I don't want to hear it, by shutting them down, right? I want to be able to say to them, I hear you, I see you, I feel you, and it matters to me what you're going through. Let's work it out, right? Let's work it out. Let's feel it and move our way through it versus shutting it down and trying to pretend that it's not happening. So let's say that definition of attunement again: a kinesthetic and emotional sensing of others, knowing their rhythm, affect, and experience by metaphorically being in their skin and going beyond empathy to create a two being experience, right? That there's two individuals. Of course, the definition on Google said two person, but I don't like two person, right? I want two beings experience of unbroken feeling connectedness by providing a reciprocal affect and or resonating response. So, you know, one of my resources for personal growth is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. Highly recommend it. And one of the habits of highly effective people is to seek first to understand and then to be understood. And to me, that is this, right? That in order to understand, I need to get in tune and feel what my horse is feeling, not just sympathize. Sympathize is, I see what you're going through, but I don't want to feel it. I'm going to stay outside of what you're feeling. But can I feel what they're feeling? So, you know, a good strategy for developing this, developing attunement, is having the ability to mirror your horse's physicality, right? One of the things that I like to do at the beginning of every session with every horse, whether it's one of my horses or someone else's horse, is I play a little game called Me and My Shadow, right? So I'm the shadow and the horse is the me. And the goal for that activity is attunement. Can I feel what you're feeling? I want to know your experience from the inside out. I don't want to just observe it. I want to feel it. And, you know, when we feel it thoroughly and can move through the emotion instead of blocking it or trying to go around it, then we can release it. But if we shut it down or go around it, it's going to show up again later. All right. So feeling it thoroughly, moving through the emotion, and then also having the ability to take our time and fully recover from any, you know, stress or stressor in the environment or in the context of the conversation will also help us to get better at, you know, attunement in the future. Okay. So attunement, huge, huge piece of any relationship, regardless of species. Then the next ingredient to understanding or being good with horses is responsiveness. And responsiveness is my ability to make a request of my horse and her ability to willingly and joyfully say, you betcha. And so that comes from first processing pressure in a way that makes pressure eventually unnecessary. So part of my responsibility around learning how to help my horses become responsive is understanding the difference between pressure and communication. When I communicate or use a cue or make a request of my horse, I want the way that I do that to be pleasing. So, you know, refined is good. I like the idea of invisible aids, but it's not always entirely necessary. It just means, can I differentiate the difference between pressure and conversation? So I only want to use pressure when I'm being misunderstood, and then make sure that I'm able to return to communication. If all I do is use pressure to physically manipulate my horse through time and space, then what I'm going to end up with is an unenthusiastic partner, right? You might get obedience, but it's not the same as responsiveness. So yes, I want to make the wrong thing unpleasant. I don't want to make the wrong thing impossible or miserable. So another concept that I've really been developing in my own mind is the idea around what kind of mental and emotional state does my horse need to be in order to be ready to have a conversation with me. And I'm calling that state of mind the window of trainability. So, you know, the concept or the paradigm around a comfort zone is pretty common and it gets used in lots of different contexts. But in this context, the comfort zone is great. It's where we go to hit the reset, right, to fully recover from any sort of stress activation. And, you know, just because a stress response was activated doesn't mean we did anything wrong. We don't have to beat ourselves up or, you know, cast ourselves upon our sticks or anything like that. Like, that's not necessary. These things happen. That's life. As long as we learn from that experience and we are able to fully recover from that stressful situation, then it will be beneficial. It will help actually widen the window of trainability quite often. So the comfort zone is a good place for, you know, resetting. And it's an important, you know, place to get to in the nervous system. But inside the comfort zone, no advancement happens. If we're comfortable, then we're not looking for new ways of being and doing. So in order to promote growth, we have to get uncomfortable, right? Now, the trick is to be uncomfortable, but not defensive, right? And so that space in there, I'm calling the window of trainability. It's outside of the comfort zone, but short of self-defense. And responsiveness is somewhere inside that window of trainability. So that's ingredient number two. Ingredient number one is attunement. My horse needs to feel that I, you know, empathize with and will go through with them whatever it is that I, you know, that they go through. And responsiveness is finding the window of trainability and doing things that widen that window, as well as understanding that I want my conversation with my horse to be pleasant. In order for that to be possible, I need to know the difference between communication and pressure. Pressure is meant to be annoying, right? It's meant to be unpleasant. That's why it works. But if all I do is use pressure, then the whole conversation is annoying or unpleasant for my horse, and they look for it to be over. What do I got to do to get you to shut up? What do I got to do to make you go away? What do I got to do to get you to leave me alone? So, you know, that's not really what I'm looking for. You know, if I'm seeking harmony, harmony feels good, and harmony happens in motion. So that has a lot to do with responsiveness. The next building block to, you know, healthy relationships with horses is I want my horse to have a sense of agency. And by that, I mean they have room to make choices. I want to teach them to make good choices that include me, right, that I'm part of their decision-making process, and that those choices happen inside their window of trainability and not through, you know, self-defense mechanisms. And, but I do want them to participate in the conversation. That's what I mean by a sense of agency, that this isn't just me telling her what to do or barking orders. It's about us having a back and forth, and that I expect her to participate. And the way that we can do that is by building connection. Connection to me, yes, of course, but that happens through responsiveness. Connection in this context, I mean, is a connection to the conversation, a sense of responsibility in my horse and what her role is in this interaction. It is more than just doing what she's told. I like obedience, guys. I'm not at all, you know, adverse to that word. I'm down with my 1,200-pound partner doing what I ask her to do, especially when I'm on top of her. That's comforting. I like that. But I don't want that to be the only thing, all right? I want her to participate and have a sense of agency. So that's building block number three, agency / connection, okay? And then the last component, in my opinion, that's all it is, take it with a grain of salt, is shape, balance, and athleticism, right? I want my horse to be physically at her best, and you know, me too. It's harder for me to convince myself to do it, but you know, being able to put her body in a shape, or for her to put her body in a shape that makes you know, what we're doing comfortable for her, and that it helps to, you know, pique her athleticism. I think that a lot of times, you know, those of us who are horse lovers, we have a sense of, you know, a divine sort of right to be on top of horses. But it's really not entirely what Mother Nature had in mind, right? We have canine teeth, and they have grass grinding teeth, you know, so we're predators and they're prey animals. Mother Nature had the idea that we would eat them and they should avoid us at all costs. So the fact that they let us be on their back at all is a huge deal. But, you know, even beyond that, then, you know, once I've developed that partnership where, you know, my horse willingly allows me to ride her, what I also need to make sure that I do is that I have a sense of responsibility for making sure that she's doing that in a way that ensures her longevity. So for me, athleticism and shaping and gymnasticizing exercises aren't about a performance in a performance for scores. All right. I do like performance, actually. I like performance for the sake of applause versus for the sake of scores, which is a type of performance. But even if you're not interested in either of those things, I think that having some basic knowledge and awareness around biomechanics, both myself for myself and for my horse, ensures that we can enjoy each other's company both on the ground and ridden for as long as possible. So having, you know, a block in there in your program around shape, balance, and athleticism is really important for longevity. So there you go, guys. Those are my four building blocks for horsemanship or, you know, horse-human relationships. Attunement, responsiveness, agency, and shape. Okay. And those things, I develop and change and grow all the time when I learn things, you know, when I learn something new. And, anyway, I hope that you found this little talk useful on your horsemanship journey. I would love to know your thoughts on this subject, and, please feel free to reach out to me anytime you want. You can email me at coach@thecoachchristy.com. Christy is spelled K-R-I-S-T-I. coach@thecoachchristy.com. I would love to hear from you. I'm passionate about helping horse lovers to better enjoy their horses, and I can't wait to hear from you. So thank you so much for listening to me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast or you find it useful in any way, I would consider it a close personal favor if you would like, comment, rate, review, and share it on whatever platform you're listening to me on. I love being your coach. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.